how does something like this heal? And it's an excellent question, which can't be ducked. But I can't answer it based on what happened to other people in there many years ago. But I could give you maybe three short personal stories that might give you some indication of how I think it works. But that's just conjecture on my part.
Mark, tell me what examples do you want to give?
Okay, well, for 10 years prior to the publishing of this book, I worked with an electronic engineer named Gordon Salisbury, who was deeply skeptical of all of this stuff, but he knew how to design instruments, and he knew he understood electronics. So we acquired a lot of early radionics devices and in one way or another put them through various tests to try to see what their capabilities were. I can honestly say, based on our research, that we, using modern electromagnetic technology, we could not detect any specific energy coming out of one of these devices. In other words, it wasn't generating a thing. And this will probably get me in a lot of hot water with a lot of radionics manufacturers, but it shouldn't, and I'll tell you why. At the very end of our work together, we made friends with a man named Larry Banks, who was an artist healer. He is also the chair of the Media Arts Department at Long Island University in Brooklyn, New York. So here's a guy. He's well-educated. He's a filmmaker. He's a healer that goes out in the streets and heals people. He doesn't charge. He's a legitimate, loving human being that does this because he has an aptitude to do it. When we brought him into our laboratory at that time and set up a couple of experiments that he wasn't even aware was going on, Larry's healing energy that just came off of his hands, no touch, nothing, no contact with a person, but the energy that came off of him was able to move meters in our lab. So we had to say, look, whatever's going on with this guy, whatever capacity he has, there is an energetic component. It showed up on these electromagnetic instruments. So there's the first. That's the first installment of the story. Can I go further, or do you have?
That's great.
Okay. All right. Well, look, around the same time, but maybe a year before, I'm sitting at a friend's house with some very gifted individuals, and with me is my 9-year-old daughter. And the next thing I know, these people have taught her how to bend spoons. Have you ever seen this done?
I have seen it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right. Well,
you're talking about you put this between your forefinger and your thumb, and by using the heat being generated from your fingers plus a gentle wiggling, the sort of kind of oscillating the spoon, you can get the spoon to weaken kind of at the fulcrum of your fingers at its thinnest point.
These weren't just being bent. These were being twisted around and, I mean, really contorted.
Okay.
And, you know, it's one thing you look at a strong man and say, yeah, you know, he just might be able to do that. But a 9-year-old girl, I'm not so sure. Anyway, I was very impressed with this phenomena. And I didn't associate it at the time with anything to do with a healing, potential power to heal. But then last January, I was down in Puerto Rico with my family. I have two young girls. My wife and I were ducked into a restaurant that a storm was coming on, and we had to get out of the weather. And we sat down and we had dinner. A young man came over to us who said, would you like to see some card tricks? And I said, yeah, why not? You know, it's So he began to show us some card tricks, and the next thing I know, he pulled a quarter out of his pocket, and he put it between his teeth, and he stretched it like a piece of rubber, like a piece of toffee or elastic. He just pulled this thing straight out, and then he pulled it back together and crimped it together with his fingers and handed us a quarter. Well, this could have been a good trick. Who the hell knows what he was really doing. But it was impressive. And immediately something in my mind went off, boon bending. The next thing he did was, now my daughter is 11 years old, and he takes her finger, her little finger, and he bends it just like it's a piece of rubber. I mean, he contorts this into like so there was no bone or muscle or nerves at all in it. And my wife and I, my older daughter, were looking at this like in astonishment, right? So at the time, this perked in my mind. And a month later, my brother went back with his family, and they contacted this same young man whose name is Eduardo Pignatoro. And he's like 20, 21 years old. He's very unpretentious about the skill. So my brother got him to do the same thing, except even more extreme, with his, using his hand. He was able to twist. My little nephew was able to push Eduardo's hand all the way around 360 degrees as he held it flat on a table. And my brother filmed this. I have the film of him doing it. And a lot of other things like this. And so, I was left with the conclusion that either this is a mass hallucination of some kind, or the man has some extraordinary degree of control over his body, or, perhaps he's able to use his intent and his focus to actually change the biological characteristics of his body in such a way that he can do something that supposedly nobody can do. If you take that last supposition as possible, then I think that you can understand why a person who trains to heal with a device of some kind, of some type of design, might be able to insert this limited ability of the control over matter into a specific context and create an open-ended situation where the dynamics could change and an unhealthy condition could be restored to a healthy condition. Now, I know that's not proof, and it's not scientific, and it's not anything, except a personal experience. But it's the closest I've come to seeing a mechanism that potentially could explain the way alternative healing modalities work, and something that is rigorously avoided by scientific people in terms of trying to make a better world for us. So, there it is. I'm sure millions of your listeners have seen similar things in similar strange contexts. And why don't we look into this a little bit more? What's the harm?